Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and joining me today, here to encourage you, is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello, and Steve Kalaszewski.
Well, hello to you both.
Man, it's so good to see you.
And it's good to see you, man. I like those glasses, man.
Well, hey, well, thank you.
Sharp, man.
Hey, I can see.
Bring a little intellectual to
the
table.
You look smarter. You look really
sharp. I need all the help that I can get. I need all the help that I can get. I see that we did visit your lady. I think that's how you said it. You got the haircut. Everything's okay?
Yeah, got a couple cuts. Sure did.
All right. Looking good? Looking sharp?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Trying my best.
Steve, help me out with that. We're going to make sure we visit that again. Mm-hmm. But I want to encourage you today, all of those that are viewing on Gulf, on CTN, on the Gulf Coast, we're so excited that you're with us every day, Monday through Friday, as we're here to encourage you and to continue to spread the light. Of course, we want to give a special shout out to all of those who are listening on VFN Radio all across the country and the world. We love to hear from you. And it's great to hear all the wonderful comments from the Middle East and all the different just Latin American countries. It's just wonderful to see the connectivity and how we're all doing this together. We have so much to discuss today. One of the things to discuss, you know, we've just had an election. And America has voted. And it's encouraging to see just democracy, people getting out to vote. I enjoyed going. I always enjoy going to the polls. You know, I mean, I went to my precinct, and the people there are just so happy and nice, and they're welcoming, and they're thanking me for voting, and I'm thanking them for being there.
For being there.
And it's just wonderful, you know. What a wonderful country that we live in, where we can exercise a constitutional right.
Amen.
Every vote does matter. Many of these elections are still, you know, there's a couple of them that still are going to go to runoffs and, you know, won't be decided till later, you know, in the year. But every vote counts.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I was getting just updates all day long as far as, you know, how many votes came in for this person, how many votes came into that person. It was just like just mere thousands. And it's just like we're separating them. It's just like.
Yeah, real time.
Yeah. And it's just like you think about that and it's just like that really exposes the truth of just like you're saying, that vote counts. You know,
it really does.
Don't believe that lie.
And the millions of dollars that have been spent just to get you to go out and vote. You know, it's just that, you know, encouraging, you know, the Republicans needed a net positive plus six to take the leadership in the Senate, and they got a plus seven, and there's still a couple of more races to be decided. And so, you know, we've come out of a midterm election now where, you know, the Republicans have control of the House and the Senate, and the president of the executive branch, obviously, is still the president, and we're going to see what gets done. You know, we, the American people, voted for representatives, for, you know, to represent them. And people are ready to see change. They're ready to see forward movement. They're tired of the gridlock, and they're wanting to say, hey, you know, we can still keep this nation. You know, one of the things that Reuters is reporting is that evangelicals came out by the droves in this election and really came out and said, hey, we're going to make a difference, and we're going to, you know, vote. And we were talking in previous programs and segments regarding, you know, the seven mountains, you know, being able to affect areas of influence in society. And one of those mountains is government. And when we have the chance, think about it, to put an office, elected representative that supports your values, right? And we're speaking on from a believer's perspective, you know, the values are important to God. We can begin to have influence in the policies and laws and different things that are going to be beneficial to the kingdom, if you will, and to beneficial to all mankind. And so I'm just really excited to see that type of involvement. You know, Barna Research Group recently reported that in the last presidential election, nearly 26 million Christians did not even vote. 26
really?
Million. And so it's important. It's important that everyone vote. And you know, they say if you don't vote, you don't have a right to you know, express your opinion there. You didn't pull the lever. So get out, vote, exercise your constitutional right, and be part of positive change. Be part of something that says, you know what, we want to help do our part in making sure that we have an America that stands. And, you know, we don't want to put an overemphasis on our elected officials because it takes everybody. You know, I love what one person said, God's not left wing or right wing. He's for the whole bird.
Right.
And it takes all of us. Mm-hmm. It takes all of us, but we can't just neglect one, you know, we can't just be about one area of our lives and say, okay, if it doesn't happen amongst my church family or amongst the church, then I don't want anything to do with it.
We'll just leave it up to the other guys.
Yeah.
They'll take care of it.
That works, right?
Yeah.
No.
Well, if you think about that, it's just like of all the places that God could have allowed you to live, of all the different nations, he allowed you to be part of this nation. And it's just like the freedoms that we have to say that we can exercise that ability to say, I like the values here, I don't like the values there. And it's just like, that's huge. And if you think about so many other countries that would desire to have that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really is huge. A lot of governor races, by the way, were decided as well. And they're the highest constitutional office in the state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so all those things are so, so important. We want to continue to pray for our country. We want to continue to pray for what lies ahead. Because, you know, there's an opportunity, but there's also an opportunity for things not to go well. And so we want to be continued watchmen on the wall, and we want to be able to continue to pray and to see God's will come to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And we're believing and holding on to, we want to encourage you to do the same for a third great awakening to touch our nation, to touch our country. Not just a movement that affects one state or one part of the region, but a movement of God, an outpouring of the Spirit that would just sweep across the entire country, at where you see a powerful move of God, a huge ingathering of souls and lives that will be radically changed. I mean, that's what we're believing for. That's what we're crying out for. And I just so filled, man. I just can't stop, praying for this move of God. And I just can't stop just being so encouraged by what is yet to come. You know, there is hope, and our hope is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And our hope is in a powerful move of God that really helps to set, you know, our country ablaze. And I'm looking forward to this third great awakening. I know there's something we've prayed. In fact, I just recently I had a prophetic dream where I was on top of God put me on top of this fishing hole. And man, there were so many fish all over the place. All I needed to do was just drop the nets. And I was in this three-story huge monster home. And the first floor of this home was a fishing tackle place.
Yeah.
And it was loaded with all the tackle you could imagine. Hmm. And, you know, the harvest is plentiful. The workers are few. All we need to do is be positioned at the right place, continue to share the love of God, continue to share the hope that we have. And let me tell you, they're going to be coming in by the droves. Because once you've tried everything else, you know, let me tell you something. You've got to turn to the Lord. And even if you may be watching today, and maybe you may have a loved one who is not serving God, I want to encourage you, don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't grow weary in your prayers.
Mm-hmm.
If you faint not, you're going to reap a harvest, and that loved one's going to come in, that son, that daughter, that prodigal, that husband, that father, that wife. Let me tell you, don't give up, because at the darkest moment is where the light shines, you know, the brightest. In fact, in today's program, we're going to talk about how you shouldn't give up, because we're going to give a testimony, and we're going to talk about a movie about Michael Francis, a former ex-mob boss in New York City for the Colombo family, who gave his life to the Lord and has been sharing his testimony and has been all around the country for quite a while now, and now they've made a movie, Pat, about his life.
Wow.
And so encouraging. God can go to the darkest places to reach anyone. So it's never, ever over. We're also going to be sharing about Sergeant Tamarisi. He has made it home.
Oh, thank you.
And in fact, we're going to talk about it right now. You know, for 8 months. 8 months, I don't know the amount of days. It's 200 plus days.
Like 216, I believe he was in there.
Amazing. If you're not familiar with Sergeant Andrew Tamarisi, he was a Marine. who served our country, who still is a Marine, excuse me, from a Marine.
Clean it up.
He's a Marine and served our country well, and because he made a wrong turn in San Diego, ended up in not just in Mexico, but ended up basically being arrested and being taken captive, and he was imprisoned for 8 months. There have been reports that he was tortured. There were reports that he was hogtied. And this is a soldier that was already experiencing post-traumatic stress disorder. He has not gotten any type of help over the last 8 months. There have been petitions by so many people, so many Americans, and we want to personally thank everyone that's been involved. I mean, here at VFN TV, we have covered this story extensively. We've played a lot of Andrew's story, Those in the Blaze, and we want to thank Montel Williams for his efforts. And my understanding is former governor of New Mexico, Bill Richardson, helped to work the negotiation of his release, as well as Montel Jordan. They were all there. They got a plane and got him out. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a travesty. You want to celebrate, but you still want to say, you know, what took so long? What took so long that we would leave a veteran, a young man that served us, a 26-year-old young man who served our country, laid down his life, comes home, and it took 8 months to negotiate with Mexico, not with Russia, not with Cuba, not with China, you know, countries that maybe would be more aggressive, you know, maybe against the United States, communist countries. But a neighbor, one we would consider a friend, certainly have open trade agreements that we couldn't pick up a cell phone, you know, the bat line, if you will, and give a call and say, send him home immediately.
Right.
I'm thankful for the efforts. It's done. And what we need to do now is make sure that Andrew Tamarisi, Sergeant Andrew Tamarisi, gets the help that he needs. This man has been through a traumatic experience. Some would say it's even what he experienced in the Mexican jail was worse than what the trauma that he experienced that war. And we want to make sure that he gets the help that he needs, but not just for Sergeant Andrew. We are praying that this case highlights the plight of many servicemen and servicewomen that are still needing tremendous care. You know, we have a Veteran Affairs committee. We have all sorts of help for our veterans, and you know, as we know in recent news, they haven't been getting the help that they need.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that just because the cameras are away and it's not a recent news cycle, you know, that's being put out.
Don't just turn it off your head. Continue to pray
for
them.
Absolutely. Pray for them, but pray for all of our veterans, and make sure that they're represented. Listen, at a time that we need our veterans and our servicemen and women to take care of us, we cannot not take care of them when they come home. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy.
$50 Eye Guy.
The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today.
Can a student in a public school give a Bible to another student? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
In high school, if other vendors are setting up tables promoting certain things for kids, can you also set up a table to hand out Bibles? And the other question is, can a Christian child going to a high school hand out a Bible as a gift without any problem?
Those are both great questions. And Glenn, with regard to student-on-student distribution of religious literature, of giving away a Bible, they absolutely have the right to do that. The Supreme Court in 1969 said students do not shed the right to freedom of speech at the schoolhouse gate. That includes distributing religious literature or a Bible. I think the best way to do this is student-on-student distribution. The Bible Club may be having an outreach. I think that's the best way to approach it. With regard to the table setups, you'd have to argue that the school has established a limited public forum, which would allow for the distribution of religious literature by outside groups.
For more information about student rights, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And Steve, Pat, you were telling us about your ritual. What is it that you do now when you get your haircut? Can you elaborate?
I have no ritual. What are you talking about?
What is it? He was all boisterous during our break. What was it that you say you have to do every time you get the haircut? What happens?
I have to remind her what guard to use.
Oh my goodness.
Each time. She cannot remember.
Are you that persnickety about how it needs
I'm not persnickety. I'm just helping her out.
Just okay.
I would say that he does have. You know, I've tried to give him a little help too, because I've noticed that I'm like. I mean,
you tried helping him.
That's a really nice haircut. And I was talking to him earlier. I'm like, you know how often Pat needs a haircut?
How often?
Never, because he's always got a fresh one. Well, and I was telling him, I'm like, you know, I think you've got some Marine Corps tendencies in you. And I'm like, are you sure you weren't? You know, maybe you blacked out for 4 years and you. Because
I don't know, Pat in the Marines. I don't know.
No.
I don't. He'd have to straighten them out.
I was actually wondering if I could go in there and be like, "Hey, can I just get the Pat?"
No, I don't think.
I'm
good luck with that one.
I'm wondering if it might work out.
You may have to take his instructions with you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Should I write down all the details and?
Well, that's probably about 20 points.
If you want it done right.
20 points. You know.
The persnickety list.
All right. We'll give him a break on that. But listen.
Go.
Before the break, we were talking about, a great move of God that we're absolutely believing for and crying out for, and it's been prophesied and has been seen, and so we're just so encouraged to see so many people, you know, begin to get excited about the harvest, and I always get excited when I hear someone come to the Lord and share their testimony. It's a beautiful day when someone leaves the place of darkness and comes into the light. And I haven't experienced anything in the world that's been so transformational than someone giving their life to Jesus. It literally changes your entire life. And, you know, the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. And I know in my own life, when I look back at who I used to be, I'm not the same person. I am a completely different person. And I look back at that other guy and look at pity. I feel sorry for him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That's the type of transformational life we have in Christ. And I want to talk about a brief testimony about an ex-mob boss, Michael Francis. He used to be a captain in the Colombo family. His father is 97 years old and is serving time today in prison for allegedly for all of his, you know, illegal, you know, criminal activity. And, you know, part of Michael Francis' story is that type of lifestyle, you know, destroys families and destroys a lot of people's lives. And today you see a lot of, you know, gangsters and movies and things of that nature that glamorize a life of crime. But let me tell you, crime doesn't pay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, crime doesn't pay. They all get caught in the end. And a lot of times, like sin makes you go, you know, farther than you ever wanted to go. It makes you pay more than you wanted to pay. And it makes you want to stay more than you ever wanted to stay.
Yeah.
And once you get entrapped by that lifestyle, once you get trapped by a bondage of hatred and greed and lust and murder and anger and rage, you become a person that becomes cutthroat, and mm-hmm. you're just looking to take care of yourself, and you're just living in the moment. And those moments go by so fast, and then you'll get arrested, and you'll have many moments to think about
mm-hmm.
the choices that you've made in your life. That's one of the things that we've been blessed with, is an opportunity to have freedom. And with freedom comes the ability to make choices.
Mm-hmm.
If you make some good choices, you'll reap a good harvest. But if you make some poor choices, you're going to reap the harvest of that choice. None of us escape the results of mm-hmm. our decision making.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't like the harvest that you're experiencing today in your life, you can begin to choose
mm-hmm.
to make better decisions, have better choices in your life, so that you can begin to see the harvest that you want to see. And, I think about Michael Francis. He was able to, after going to prison, he was listed on, like, the top 20 mobsters of the time back in the 80s. And through a series of events and being incarcerated, he came to a point where he received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. You know, one would think that somebody maybe of you know, that character, that background
mm-hmm.
would be a person that did be, you know, totally lost. I've heard people say things like that. Well, I don't know about that person.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Legion got saved.
It was either lost or found. It's like, you're lost.
Yeah, Legion got saved. You know, no one is not, you know, no one's limited to receiving the gospel. You know, the hope of the gospel of salvation is for everyone
right.
who believes. And believe it or not, the people who have had the darkest moments in their life, the people who have done the worst, are the ones that once they see the light,
mm-hmm.
they're the ones that you know, turn ablaze for God.
I think about Saul. You know, he was the one that was just openly persecuting the church.
Yeah.
And it was just like, God saved him. And it's just like, that gives a lot of hope. And it's just, mm-hmm. God can reach into the depths of the darkness and yeah. bring his light.
I think sometimes a lot of people, they believers, they get discouraged. They've been praying for a loved one, a family mm-hmm. member, and they haven't seen the results necessarily that they've wanted. And I want to encourage you today. I feel like there is a lot of people that are viewing and listening to us today that have been praying for loved ones. And listen, don't give up. Don't give up at the end. You're so close.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give up praying. Don't give up loving, because every act of love and kindness doesn't return void, and God's word for sure doesn't return void.
Yeah.
You know, you're just stacking up truth on a person's heart. You're stacking up kind acts, loving acts, mm-hmm. and at the appointed time, at that moment, that compassion is going to just fall right into their heart. And you know, the enemy would like for us to focus on the negative parts. He would like for us to focus mm-hmm. on the bad things, but we're supposed to focus on the hope.
Yeah. I think about many of the people that I've been able to minister to, and it's just like, we get so focused on what you're saying, like what we see on the surface. You know, God's word says that one man waters, another man plants, but it's God that causes the seed to grow. And it's
yeah.
like, you don't see that little seed germinating underneath the surface. But all of a sudden, it's just like, when you first see it, when it breaks the surface, that's not the first time it's been growing. It's got a process underneath that surface. And it's just like, God's doing something in that person's heart when you share the gospel with them. And the thing is, you trust in God, watch what he's going to do.
Absolutely. And I believe the salvation is for the humble.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, a lot of times we're prone to pray for people and say, well, you know, when they go through a trial or when America goes through the difficulties, then they're all going to turn. You know, I can't necessarily say anymore that I believe that to be true. I have met countless people that have hit so many bottoms. I mean, for me, I see subterranean floors, you know, in their life. You know, I would have cried out long time ago, but they don't have basements. They have underground chambers, if you will, and they don't hit bottom. They what I would say would be in my life, I would consider that maybe a flattening event, you know, that would be a wake-up call. And I've seen in the lives of others that it's not. And so my prayer is that in the trial, that God will work humility in the life of that person.
Mm-hmm.
Because when someone gets saved, when someone gives their life to God, you know, and you know, we've got to be honest with ourselves as well, too, because a lot of times we're praying a salvation message instead of a kingdom message, mm-hmm. you know, the gospel of the kingdom. And it's not just for someone just to get saved and for them to get out of hell free card, but it's for them to walk in the fullness of what God has saved them for. They live in a society in which, you know, they're going to need to interact, they're going to need to live, and they're going to need to influence the society in which they live.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, in order to receive salvation, you got to admit that, hey, you
I
know, the way that I was going is wrong.
Right.
the way that I was thinking was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about whatever I thought I believed. Jesus is Lord. I've got to humble myself and confess that I am a sinner, that I am away from God. Mm-hmm. I think many people are delusional and think that they can have a life of sin and have Jesus too. I mean, it doesn't work that way. You know, Jesus told the woman, go and sin no more.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can't live a lifestyle of sin and claim that we have a relationship with Jesus, because that's why Jesus came, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.
Amen.
And so, you know, humility is a great thing that needs to happen in all of our lives, and we certainly need it for salvation, but we need to, you know, it doesn't end there. We need to live a lifestyle of humility that causes us to be dependent upon the Lord. When we get back from this break, we're actually going to show you a trailer from Michael Francis's new movie. It's called God the Father, and you don't want to miss it. More when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. That's the only way we can really tell who we really are. And then he even tells us, apart from abiding in him, we can't even bear that fruit. Listen to Francis Chan, the author of Crazy Love and leader of and founder of Multiply Movement, share this exact thing. We are known by our fruit.
You know, the fruit will show. You know, if the tree's for real, it's going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You'll see the action, but we want to make those statements, and we're not following up, and we're deceiving ourselves. I was thinking about this the other day, you know, how James talks about how we can be hearers of the word, but not doers, and so we're deceiving ourselves because we're listening and amen, 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 but we're not doing it, and you know, Satan is the father of lies. He loves deception. He loves to deceive people. But I think in a lot of ways, he's very happy with what he sees in a lot of gatherings, because they're like, I don't even need to work there. They're deceiving themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're going there, you know, hearing a message, amening it, and not doing it. They're deceiving themselves. I think Satan's actually very pleased. I want to be careful with it. I mean, based on what I see in Scripture, I think there are times when he's pleased that the Word of God is preached and not obeyed, and that deception is going on, because that's his MO. That's what he loves to do. Mm. He loves to deceive. And so if there's a bunch of people thinking they're following God because they're going, oh, yeah, I heard a really tough message by David Platt the other day. You know, I heard this. I got so convicted, I walked away. I even walked away sad. Me and my friends, we even cried. You know, it's just like this, we did it. And I really think the enemy is going, oh, this is great. This is great. They're not. When Jesus was about repent, like, let me see you turn. John the Baptist, repent. Let me see it turn. Peter, repent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's turn. And we're all about feel bad, make a grand statement.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Satan's actually pleased with that.
You're listening to Francis Chan, author of Crazy Love and Multiply Movement. You can find it at multiplymovement.com. Listen, you need to be fruitful. We are known by our fruit. It's going to be a fruit inspection time at the throne room of God, because it's not that we're not earning our salvation. The very fact that we are saved, we are fruitful. Listen, if you want to be fruitful today, begin to make this Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you haven't yet done that, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories and how to do that. Then begin to abide with him and be his disciple. And we have a plan for you, a simple plan for you right now, free. Just go and request it at iabide.org. Iabide.org. Eternity weighs in the balance. Your eternity.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And you know what, guys? I can just ask the question, what is it about coffee that we enjoy so much? I know that we were talking a little bit on the break about that, but you know what? I enjoy a nice cup of coffee. I know Pat, you know, he's limited to the amount of coffee that he drinks. How many cups is it now?
What, a day?
Yeah, how many
cups? Just a couple, maybe.
Just a couple.
A couple.
And no afternoon cups, no. just the morning cup.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Steve,
how many I'm with cups? You, man. As I've become more, I love me a cup of coffee. I got to have two when I wake up.
Two?
Yeah. I have the cup when I wake up, mm-hmm. you know. Watch the sunrise, you know, wake up a little bit. Have a cup when I come into the office. And then end of the night, I got to have another one.
Now, do you have a cup when you abide? That's the question.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay. See, I like a cup when I abide.
Oh, yeah. I got to have a cup. And it was funny, though. It's like as I've gotten older.
Oh, like the old man that you are right now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're so ancient.
Not when I wasn't five. I'm sorry.
Oh. Didn't know you drank coffee when you were five, but go ahead.
I don't. Anyways, but it's just like as I've gotten older, anyways. I got me a little canister of decaf because I made the mistake. I was like, man, I could go for a cup of coffee. And it was like 10 o'clock at night.
Mm,
and then problem. I wondered, I was like, man, I tossed and turned all night
problem.
Long.
Yeah.
Mistake.
Yeah, I connected the dots on that one real quick.
Yeah, it's weird, you know, because I used to be able to drink coffee at any time of night and it did not affect me. But you're right. As you do get older, if I have a cup past a certain amount of time, it's over for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to be up all night. And see, that's the trick. If you take it past a certain time, and Chris is giving me the eye signal there. I see it. You know, if you drink it past a certain time, then you're going to be up all night, right? Which mm-hmm. means you're not going to sleep.
Right.
And then you're going to wake up in the morning tired, and guess what you're going to need?
Yeah, a cup of coffee.
You're going to need a cup of coffee to stand up. See, you got to be able to know when to cut it off. And but you know what? I sure love that nice cup of coffee. Something about that
smell. It's also that one cup after you get something to eat.
Absolutely.
That nice meal, and it's like, hey, would you like a cup of coffee? You're like, yes.
It
yes,
seals the deal. The cup of coffee after the meal seals the deal. Now, Pat doesn't agree with that.
No.
No, not at all.
He's more of a Gatorade after, you know, not Gatorade. He likes that Mountain Dew after.
No.
Yeah, I just need my toothpick.
Just bring him a nice, warm cup of water after the meal, and he will
or
be happy
milk.
With that.
Warm milk.
Yeah.
Well, I actually never considered myself a coffee drinker until I miss that cup and I get a migraine headache right around 11 o'clock. Oh. And I'm like, uh-oh.
A lot of confessions. I see we're going to have to pray for Steve. Listen, Cup of Joe is very good.
There you go.
If you want to be a sponsor, we will definitely talk with you. But but coffee is a good thing. Well, we want to get back to Michael Franzese's testimony and the new trailer. It's been out now, selected mm-hmm. theaters. We'll make sure that all this is related for you, where you're able to, you know, get the movie and view it. But we want to show you a trailer of his life story. It's called God the Father, former ex-mob boss with the Colombo family in New York City, gives his life to the Lord and leaves a life of crime, and now is sharing his story with many people to give them hope in Jesus Christ. Watch this.
He asked me one question. He
He said, if you ever had to kill anybody, could you do it? And I thought about it for a minute. I said, yeah, I think I can do it. My old man made quite a name for himself on the streets of New York. He rose in the ranks as an enforcer, and that means he whacked people. He's a living legend of La Cosa Nostra. Unfortunately, most of his former associates aren't alive to talk about him. All I ever heard from my dad, you gotta be a man's man. So I looked at the qualities of manhood. I looked up to my father.
Your allegiance to La Cosa Nostra is bound in blood.
What, are you gonna kill me? Your son?
This is a life we chose.
It would seem that Michael Francisi is unfortunately following the footsteps of his father.
Authorities describe Francis as a young, rich, and dangerous mafia boss who was held without bail.
I just said, you know, Lord, what am I going to do? You know, here I am again in the same position, and who knows when he's coming home.
I said, I'm going to spend the rest of my life in this 6x8 cell. I had never experienced hopelessness in my life, and that night I got it.
You don't look so good, man. This might help you out.
It was during that time in the hole that I became convinced beyond any doubt that Jesus was not only a real man, but that he was persecuted, he hung on a cross and died for my sins, and that he is my savior. The evidence is there, and for me, it's rock solid.
There you have it. Wow. God the Father. Man, that looks like that's going to be pretty good. But what an exciting testimony. Mm-hmm. I remember of another testimony of a former mob boss. I forget his name. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there was a hit on his life because he left. And right when one of Paul Castellano, I believe, was murdered, that hit was over. And he wound up, you know, not being mm-hmm. pursued anymore mm-hmm. by the mafia. And he was giving his testimony. And I'll tell you, you know, people want to find God. They just don't know it. I believe it. They just don't know what they're missing. And it's our right. opportunity to be able to share with them. They say some of the highest percentage of people that find the Lord mm-hmm. is not in crusades. It's not in necessarily mass evangelism, but it's normally a one-on-one relational evangelism, whether it's a friend, a coworker, whether it's a family member. So I want to encourage you that God has put you in that place of influence, whether that is your place of employment, whether that's your mm-hmm. family. I mean, you know, if you have a large family and you have cousins, you have, you know, it just continues to grow. And then, of course, your neighborhood and the place that you have, you know, community in. I want to encourage you to see yourself as a missionary. See right. yourself as that person who's going to be able to bring the gospel. I think about when Nicky Cruz gave his life to the Lord. You know, Dave Wilkerson was witnessing to him
in New York. Yeah,
yeah. And Nicky and Dave Wilkerson says, "Listen, you know." And Nicky Cruz says to Dave Wilkerson, "I'm going to cut you up into 100 pieces." And David Wilkerson says, "Well, every single one of these pieces are going to cry out, 'Jesus loves you.'"
Yeah,
you know. And it was the love of God. And look what happened. Look what happened in that ministry. You know, my dad is a result of that ministry. My dad was in with David Wilkerson many, many years ago in Brooklyn, New York. And it's just amazing to see what happens when just one person, Steve, one person steps out and says, you know what? I'm going to share the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
When you think about it, it's like you look at David Wilkerson was just moving in that power of love. And he went because I believe at that time, Nicky Cruz was actually one of the leaders of that gang. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I mean, I even think about, you know, when I was going through high school, it's like, there's that one individual that's like, you know, the quote unquote, he's the hard, you know, bully or whatever. And it's just like, imagine ministering or just choosing to love that one person that's difficult to love or people are afraid of. And it's just like, how powerful is that love going to be that stands out to that person? And even when they, you know, make fun of you or do whatever, and it's just like, love is always going to win.
Absolutely.
Love is always going to conquer. And it's just like, imagine what God wants to do and what God can do through that person. It's just like what you're saying earlier is that some of those that were the most lost or just, you know, in the darkest of sin, when God comes into their life, you're going to see such powerful things. And it's just like what you're saying before, it's like, look at what God did in Saul's life. And he became such an encourager, an apostle in the church of what he did through Paul's life. And it's just like, imagine God and have faith to do just amazing things. Imagine what God can do ministering to that one individual.
Absolutely. Because people can deny a lot mm-hmm. of things, but what they can't deny is love.
Right.
Acts of love. You know, maybe it's even in your own neighborhood. Maybe you've come in and out of your home and you haven't had a chance to really witness to your neighbors, have the opportunity to meet them. We want to encourage you, meet your neighbor today. Build that relationship. You know, a lot of times you want to earn the right to you know, evangelize and share the gospel. A lot of times people want to come up and start, you know, quoting off scriptures and stuff. And it's like, do I know you? You know, and the first part is try to be someone's friend. You know, open yourself up to be friendly. Jesus just wasn't friendly to sinners. He was a friend of sinners. So just because someone doesn't believe like you or live the same lifestyle that you doesn't mean that you can't befriend them with the goal of loving them into the kingdom. Not, you know, for you to help to transform them, hopefully not into them to transform you, but, you know, the goal of leading them to Christ and build relationship. That's really the second step, because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Right.
And there's easy ways to start developing relationship, whether that's through conversation, whether that's, you know, inquiring about how somebody is doing in their family, and even meeting a physical need. Maybe they may, you know, during this dialogue and this relationship, you may become aware that they have a need of something. And if you're able to meet that need, that's a huge thing, because that's an act of love. It's an act of kindness. And you're showing them that, hey, I'm willing to be there for you. I want to be your friend. And once we establish a friendship, once we establish a relationship, you know, then you begin you're earning the right, if you will, to evangelize sinner. You've earned that right now. And one of the great ways that you can begin to evangelize and to bring people into to the light of salvation, the light of the gospel, is by really sharing your own personal story. You know, many people, you know, a person with an argument is always at the mercy of someone with an experience. And so begin to start sharing with them, hey, your life. And that requires for us to be vulnerable. You know, a lot of times, you know, I speak to believers and they try to distance themselves from the life that they used to live. They don't even want to bring that part up anymore. And it's on the backdrop of that mess that the light of the gospel looks just so beautiful. So it requires for us to be vulnerable, requires for us to share a little bit about ourselves, our background, our history, some of the ugly stuff, right?
Yeah.
And to share with them how we came to that point. Because there is a definitive moment in your testimony. There should be a clear demarcation of a time of which this was my life apart from Jesus. And it should, you know, the fruit clearly is destruction, whether it be in relationships. It just goes on and on and on. There should be plenty of fruit to show. And then there's that moment, that maybe season in your life where you realized, hey, I'm going the wrong way really fast, and this is going nowhere but a dead end. What was that moment? What was that season in your life where you said, I am coming to Jesus? I've given my life to him. And then there is a other side of that demarcation, that clear line that says, this is my life after my commitment to Christ. This is what my life looks like.
Difference.
Huge, should be huge difference. And that's what people want to see. They want to see the gospel real. They want to see Jesus in you. They want to see what has happened and why you have hope. And I believe that the more we share that, the more we care enough about our fellow man to get outside of all the things that are holding us behind brick and mortar, things that are holding us behind not having relationship, but getting out there, meeting the neighbors, spending maybe 15 minutes, make it your point that I'm going to spend 10 to 15 minutes after work every day just developing relationship around the office. Not during work, because you owe your employer that time, but after work, you're going to maybe hang out with the guys afterwards for a little bit, or you're going to maybe talk to one of your female, you know, co-workers, and, you know, ladies talk about stuff, whatever, and just build relationship. Build relationship, and don't be afraid to tell people what God has done in your life. I've seen so many times where people have been going through horrible situations, and they were just begging for someone to tell them the hope that they have in their life. I want to encourage you, do that today when we get right back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
The $50 Eye Guy here with some eye-tastic news. Now, two locations to better serve you, so when buying your next pair of eyeglasses,
come see my dad, the $50 Eye Guy. $50 Eye Guy.
The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today.
The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on at VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
Big and beautiful this morning, John Ramos.
Hey. Hello.
We were on a stage ministering, I don't know, a couple hundred men, feeding them spaghetti, mentioning the gospel, and we're talking about, I think, racial reconciliation or something, and I said, man, I said, you're beautiful, and all of his masculinity was risked. Like, 200 men, he's like, whoa, wait a minute, I'm like, dude, I'm not really telling the truth here. No. You're not beautiful. No, I'm just trying to make up for the height difference and everything, you know. But seriously, I'll remember that. You're like, oh my goodness, you know, I meant that in a masculine, isn't he? Though?
Thank you.
He's got glamour shots. I don't know if you've seen that or not.
Really,
Ian? I'm so sorry. We're getting to our list. This is where we're going.
Thank you for the list, Ian.
Welcome to the Christian Television Network across the world. You got to see John's glamour shot.
No glamour shots. No glamour shots.
They're all glamour shots. He waits like a long time
for you. Really? You know, you were like,
oh, please.
Ian, get back to Ian's list.
Okay.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm John Ramos, and joining us back from the break is Pat and Steve. We've been talking about salvation. We've been talking about how no one is limited or not able to get saved, to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, no matter where they've been, no matter how dark their life may be, no matter how dark your life may be. Jesus loves you, and he has a plan for your life, and he'll change your life forever. And I want to share a dream that I had, a prophetic dream, this week, and just, you know, amazing. But Ephesians 4:11 tells us that it was Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. And, you know, it is the fivefold hand of ministry, if you will, the fivefold hand of God, the apostles, pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists, to prepare God's people for the works of service. It's not for them to do all the works, mm-hmm. but it is to empower, it's to teach, it's to instruct, it's to train, and it's to launch believers into the work of God, into the harvest, if you will. And I had this dream where I was in a business meeting, but the business meeting was in the most unusual place, if you will. the business meeting with some folks was actually right dead center of a big box retail store. So, you know, as you can imagine, any retail, big box retail store, you go in and there's, you know, lanes and product and everywhere. But I'm having this meeting with these love seat type chairs, these big old chairs in the middle of the store with these businessmen. And as we're talking business and talking marketplace, I noticed to the left-hand side, there's a woman who's sharing the gospel inside the store, and she caught my attention, and so I'm looking over to her, and she's not, you know, preaching a way where someone would think she's preaching, you know, a 5-point, you know, sermon or something, and she wasn't the best the speaker, and she was just doing the best that she could, you know, she was just sharing her heart, sharing the truth, when I say preaching the gospel, and she was just letting it rip, if you will. And I started realizing that all the customers had stopped dead in their tracks, and they were all frozen listening to this woman. She was so anointed. It wasn't what she said, but it was the anointing of God on, you know, it's not how she was delivering it, but it was the anointing on her words and the truth that she was sharing, and the people were just listening. But as I was watching her, she needed help. She couldn't finish, basically. There was a captive audience, and so from my chair in the meeting, I'm asking her questions, kind of helping her along the way. I'm saying, so what do we need to do? And she says, well, we need to repent. We need to turn back to God, and we need to get our hearts, you know, right with God. And she's finding her way. And then I ask her again, well, you know, how do we do that? You know, and again, I'm trying to assist her, you know, kind of helping her along the way, throwing softballs, if you will, so that she could, you know, lead the rest of these folks that are just standing still. And she says, you know, well, we got to confess our sins. We've got to acknowledge to God that we've sinned, that we've lost our way. And she's, I mean, she's right there at the point, at the verge of giving people the opportunity to give their hearts to God. All she needed to do was just ask them, you know, hey, listen, make a decision today. And then she was distracted. She was completely distracted. And the folks never came in. They never gave their hearts to God. And I was just praying, as I've been praying about that, there's multiple things that, you know, God was saying to me through that dream and prophetic experience, is that, you know, the church needs to be prepared. It needs to be prepared and taught and trained to be able to bring in this harvest. People are wanting to hear the truth of the gospel. They're wanting to hear the hope in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. But we have to prepare God's people. We've got to prepare the church and to equip them and to train them to be able to lead others to God. Mm-hmm. And one of the great places I believe that that's going to take place is right there in the marketplace. I mean, I was dead center in the marketplace where people transact, they do business, they have community. And even you think about, where are the people today? Where are they? They're at work.
All around you.
They're at school. They're definitely in the stores. They're shopping. They're going about their everyday lives. And it's for us to take notice, not just kind of, you know, saying, hey, all this stuff and everywhere society meets and interacts and has life, I don't want to talk to you about God there. I only want to talk to you, God, about, you know, on this one day a week when we meet over here at this place. I don't want to step outside. But let me tell you, we got to get beyond the walls. We got to get beyond what we may think is comfortable to us. And we got to get to the place where the people are at. And we got to be able, just like that. I'm telling you, it was just, they were standing still in the on the hallway, standing still with their buggies, and they were just hanging on every word she said. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Imagine the possibilities when believers awaken to that. That as they go to the Walmarts, as they go to Target, as they go to the mall, as they go shopping, food shopping, that they're united with God, they're hearing His voice, and they're looking for that moment, that opportunity to be able to, one, build relationship, introduce themselves to someone, and look for an opportunity where they can bring God, part of the conversation? How many people have been a part of, not necessarily engaged in conversation, but been listening to conversation that didn't glorify God and it's just foolishness? And it's like, wait a minute, it's time to bring up God in the conversation, at the water cooler, in the lunch break, there at the store. It's time to do it.
Yeah. You know, I think about it, and it says in Acts 17 how it says that God determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. Mm. Of all the nations, of all the states, of all the cities, whether you're on a subway, you're in a taxi, you're in the business office, you're in your neighborhood, God has positioned you where you are in the generation where you are amidst the people that you're right next to. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're the light.
Yeah.
You have the answer. And when people are talking, it's like you have that power to bring up Jesus.
Absolutely. Listen, no matter what the enemy has told you today, you and God are a majority.
Amen.
You don't need 10,000 people. You don't need all this other stuff. All you need is God. All you need is God and be willing to share your testimony. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just got to be willing to make yourself available. God's not looking for your ability or your inability. He's looking for your availability. Make yourself available to God and let the Holy Spirit lead you to that person that you're going to share with them the hope of Jesus Christ. Do it today. Let's invite them all into the kingdom of God.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan, The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America, but this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.